In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul begins his exhortation to the Romans with these words: Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. I reckon that the sufferings we endure now pale in comparison to the glory that awaits us. It is difficult at times to accept what it is that St. Paul says to us, precisely because while as believers we accept the intellectual concept of suffering, the reality thereof oftentimes leaves us wanting, desiring, or actually reveals to us how weak we actually are. Yes, we try to mortify ourselves in various ways, small or large. During the Lenten season, we're a little bit more attentive to this need to sacrifice. But as Lent gives way to Easter, which gives way to the time after Pentecost, the mystery of the cross seems to fade and become something that is there for us to contemplate, but certainly never anything that we would actually embrace wholeheartedly with every aspect of our being. And yet, precisely, that is what is required of us. The mystery of the cross will always remain at the heart of the Christian dispensation. There's no relationship with God in Christ that does not involve suffering and sacrifice. The need or the responsibility or the expectation that you willingly die to yourself in order that Christ might live in you. And yet, when we hear this preached, or we ourselves read or study this or contemplate this, we neglect the next part that St. Paul provides. Suffering is not in a vacuum where we simply suffer for the sake of suffering. Our suffering invites us into the glories of the fullness of Christ, the glories that we experience now and the glories that await us as we anticipate sharing life with Christ in heaven. When we suffer, when we sacrifice, as St. Paul also reminded the Romans, when we die with Christ, so we live with Christ. And most especially entering into that new life that Christ gives to us through the sacrament of baptism. This then is the foundation of our hope. As St. Paul goes on to speak about, again, in his exhortation to the Romans. Hope is not that which might be, but rather the reality and the acceptance of that which is being applied to me. Christ has risen, and in his rising he has conquered sin and death once and for all. Christ's sacrifice has reunited us with the Heavenly Father and drawn us into the mystery of the Holy Trinity. These are not theological concepts that will happen sometime in a distant future. They're the expression of a reality that exists here and now. To then be a man or a woman of hope is to have confidence that that which has happened, which we believe and accept, will actually happen to you. You will share in the glories of Christ. You will be drawn into a deep, intimate union with the Most Holy Trinity. You will share in the new life that Christ has raised for us. But as St. Paul reminds us, this is not just future glory. It is the reality in which we find ourselves now. This is why we don't become a despairing, despondent people as we wait for new life. We are men and women of hope. In a world that will stand against us, in a world that will resist us, in a world that will crucify us, we're not afraid, we're not worried or concerned. We're not heavy burdened or laden down by the cares and concerns of the world, not because they are unreal, and not because they do not cause us pain, because oftentimes they do. And not because they don't cost us something, but because they do. But whatever cost we are asked to endure pales in comparison to the glory of the Lord. And in truth, brothers and sisters, this only becomes real to us in the midst of our own suffering. So it is no secret that I have been absent from you for almost, it may seem like only a few weeks, but it has been much longer than that. A sickness that began in June that continues to have its particular ramifications. that has brought home to me how very weak I am. Not weak because of sickness, but weak from a lack of faith. An unwillingness to suffer, an unwillingness to accept my crosses, complaining and whining and railing against God. Why this? Why now? Why me? Well, why not now? Why not me? Why not this? There's nothing particularly special or unique about me that makes me exempt from the mystery of the cross. There's nothing significantly important about my contribution to God and Holy Mother Church that somehow means I am somehow exempt from sacrifice and suffering. And what is as revealed to me is that I listen to these words, I preach about these words, I teach these words, but I do not live them. And if I do, I do not live them well. Because in truth, the crosses that the Lord gives to us, the crosses that the Lord has given to me, I should accept them with joy and confidence, knowing I'm being provided an opportunity to suffer with the Lord so that I can live in the new life the Lord has gained for me. That what I say, what I preach, what I teach are not mere words, but actually the reality and the foundation of my existence. And so when the suffering comes, and it will come for all of us as it does in any manner of ways, we can't turn away from it, nor can we resent God or be angry at God, but instead we must embrace it with joy, precisely because the Lord is providing us this wonderful opportunity to be men and women of a fervent and constant hope because of what Christ has done, what Christ desires to do for us, and what awaits for us at the end of time. St. John Paul II, in the great biography written about him by George Weigel, was called the witness to hope. And oftentimes he spoke about the 20th century as a century of despair that led to all of the holocausts that went on in the 21st century, or the 20th century, excuse me. But now as we move squarely into the 21st and we are in it, that despair seems to somehow have gotten into the very bones of our existence, even at times, sadly, in the very fabric of the church herself. We seemingly have given up. We've accepted what the world actually is. We've resigned ourselves to difficulties, but all the while grumbling against them. And we've forgotten who we are and whose we are. That all of us in baptism have been called by God to live a particular life in Him. Whatever our vocation may be, when we are called, we must respond. We must trust and have confidence. And if that call involves sacrifice and suffering and the cross, even more so should we rejoice and find our confidence in the Lord. We are, after all, His loving, adopted children. He's drawn us unto Himself through the mystery of His Son. So here I am, yet again before you, preaching, offering sacred scripture to you. But the most important thing I can do is to exhort you in your daily life when you leave this beautiful place of prayer to put this into practice. So what are you suffering now? What crosses are you bearing now? What is it that you are enduring right now? How well are you enduring it? The little inconveniences or the great sufferings, whatever they may be, you must ask yourself, look at yourself, evaluate yourself in God in Christ. And if you come up short, which oftentimes we do, it's not a cause for despair or to give up hope. It is an opportunity to yet again live as God desires us to live. What is asked of us, the exhortation that St. Paul gives to the Romans, is not something that is beyond us, but rather he offers it precisely because he knows the power of grace and what can happen to those who cooperate with grace poured out upon grace. He, after all, is a primary example. The one who is persecuting becomes the one who is persecuted, the one who offers his life in mystery of our Lord. So let us thank the Lord for the gift of life that he's gained for us. And let us pledge as we come forward to receive the living God, and we take Christ literally inside of ourselves to embrace whatever crosses or sacrifices we are asked to endure. To do so with joy and hope, knowing that nothing in this world, however bad it may be, will ever overshadow the glory of God here and the glory of God to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.